The passage of scripture that I read, it says that our Father neither slumbers nor sleeps. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Why is that, do you think? Because you matter so much to him. There's no need to slumber. There's no need to sleep. He watches over you. He looks and knows you. When no one's around, he knows what's going on. He knows what happened. He knows what's happening. When no one knows what's going through your thoughts, he knows every single one of them. Don't try to hide them right now, whatever they are. Don't try to hide it. He knows what they are. If we will just be honest with him, and again, in his presence, when we surrender, we find freedom. The important part is his presence. Our responsibility is whether we'll choose to surrender or not. And so many people hear God, experience the Holy Spirit through conviction or warnings, and a lot of them just continue to just not surrender and reject and walk away. Today, we're going to continue with our theme. If you'll go up to slide one, our theme this month is comes from Romans chapter 13, verse 11. It says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come and has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. As Paul was writing this to the believers in Rome, and he wrote this, even today, it's a time not to sleep through things, but to be awake. To be focused on the things that matter more. I'm not sure, Joe, but did you get that clock sound? It's time to wake up. There we go. Wake up. How many of you, by the show of hands, you love that snooze button? You love that snooze button. And do you know that it doesn't make your sleep... Anybody that you love the snooze button and your sleep is better? Not me. No. It's like, I feel like even more tired when I hit it the third or fourth time. So that's why, Shannon and I, she sleeps on the side where there's the nightstand, and so sometimes our kids pull the plug out, or they're playing in the room and someone unplugs the alarm clock, but it's too far for me to hit the snooze, so I just let Shannon do it. But that snooze button really can get you in trouble. And there are activities right now that are happening right now in the spirit, right now where you're sitting, right now in the row where you're at. There is something happening right now, even in the spirit. If we remain disconnected to what the enemy is doing or to what God is doing, we'll miss out. We will miss out on what we're supposed to do. When the enemy is lurking and we're not connected because we're asleep, we keep hitting that snooze button, we will miss out on what we're supposed to do. Well, what am I supposed to do? Pray against what the enemy is wanting to do. Pray against what your flesh is wanting to do. I'm not sure how many of you had a difficulty even getting up this morning, but thankfully you told your body, we're getting up and we're going to church. So thankfully for that. So if you're watching online and you're not and you're at home, you lost. Your body told you to stay home, but thankfully you're watching online. But anyway, so just think of what God is wanting to do, just in this service so far. What God wanted to do, what the Holy Spirit was saying to you, and you were not connected. God was calling, and you turned your ringer off.
I have to remember to turn my ringer off sometimes because my family or other people, they're just, you know, I normally don't have my notifications on, but sometimes with my family, there are, today's my oldest sister's birthday, so happy birthday to my oldest sister, Lulu, Lourdes Arriol Borjas, and so, but anyway, she's my oldest sister. She's the oldest one of all seven of us, and but sometimes though, like a little while ago, they're blowing up my phone. My phone was vibrating. I'm like, I got to turn it off because it's her birthday, and they're just, you know, sending her text messages. But you know, we can have our phone, our ringer off, our notifications off when the Holy Spirit is speaking, and we miss out on what God is wanting us to do, what He's wanting us to know. So here, as I mentioned in Romans 13:11, you know. That there is a time, and the time that we're in right now, it is so near. Now, you would probably say, well, do you know the date? No, I don't know the date, but just by the signs of times, I know that my Lord and Savior is coming soon. And so, again, as last week I mentioned about a certain sleep disorder, did you know that there is a sleep disorder that causes people to feel like they are awake, but they're still sleeping? I wonder how many people are deceived thinking that they are seeing what is really there, but they don't see what they are supposed to see. I'm going to read that again. That kind of reminded me of that Tony Evans a quote I shared many times. But I wonder how many people are deceived thinking they are seeing what is really there, but they don't see what they're supposed to see, the things of the spirit realm, the things that are actually happening in the spirit. You see, this happens because they choose not to read the word, they choose not to hear the word, they choose not to even apply the word. So how do they know what the Spirit is wanting us to do or to see or to say? My next slide, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, the King James Version, it says it this way: "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Even as the Lord was speaking this to John the Revelator, or the writer of Revelation, even as it was said, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." God is always doing something. He's always wanting to do something in you if you allow him to, if you'll let him to, if you'll surrender. He's always wanting to do something through you if you allow him to and if you'll surrender. It's an amazing thing that so many of us, we think we're awake, but we're sleeping. Now, I say us because I want to make sure and certain that you understand and know that I am not up here talking like I'm perfect, like I have it all together. No, sometimes I do fall asleep. Sometimes I do get carried away. And I get disconnected. So I typed on my computer in Google. I Googled it, being awake but still asleep. And that came up about this sleep disorder. And it says, during a false awakening, it's known as false awakening. During false awakening, the sleeper believes they are awake when in reality they are still sleeping. False awakenings usually occur during rapid eye movement sleep, which is the sleep stage most closely tied to dreaming. I then searched the definition of woke, you know, the past tense of wake, but woke. And even though, some of you giggle, all right, so even though we know, or I know, that it's the past tense of wake, like I woke up when I heard that crash, many of us know that this word is taking a new meaning, known for something else. So I looked at dictionary.com and Webster's Dictionary. Slide 3. Woke. It's a verb. In the verb form, is past. It's the past participle or the past tense of wake. But also, it's now. It's an adjective. Alert to injustice and discrimination in society, especially racism. Now, this term woke is being used in a different context. There's something. This happens a lot. Words take on new meanings. I mean, from a long time ago, just certain words take on different meanings because of the time, because of that time frame, or what's going on in society. Webster's Dictionary defines woke. Now, Webster gives it the first definition is this. Woke is now defined in this dictionary as aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues, especially issues of racial and social justice. Then at the bottom, as you scroll down, because I scroll down, at the bottom it says woke, past tense and participle of wake. I wanted to just to kind of point this out. I'm not against the new meaning or definition of woke. If those of you that don't know, I'm Mexican. And so I grew up, growing up, one of my best friends, Damon Henderson, he passed away years ago. But he was an African-American guy. And I always would hang out. We'd go to clubs. This was before Jesus. But, I mean, we just hung out. And we just became really good friends. When we were 5 years old, we got into a fight in front of the library, and he got the best of me. Many times he would always kind of bring that back, and shut up, Damon. But we were really good friends. But I know that term woke is taking such a turn from this meaning, because it's being used somewhat in a derogatory way, but in a way to state of what I'm woke to, what I'm aware of. And they're aware of the wrong things, because there's spiritual things that are more important than what they're actually seeing. So they're woke to something of injustice, and I'm not saying that there is no injustice. There's lots of things that go on in our world, in our society, things that should not happen, but they do happen. But you have to understand that there is something spiritual always going on. And if you're so focused on what you see with your eyes through your glasses, if you use them, if you're so focused on that, you'll be disconnected to what the Spirit is wanting to reveal to you, and you won't see what's really happening. Just like right now, I'm not sure, and I'm not going to look at anybody so nobody gets offended. But just right now where you're sitting and you're listening to what the Lord is giving me to say to you, many of you, your thoughts are going other places. Maybe you're getting really tired, and maybe your eyes are getting, you're falling asleep. Do you know that there's spiritual things going on in that moment? It's not just your flesh. Yeah, maybe you should have gotten more sleep last night. But, it's not just your flesh. It's the fact that there's something spiritual going on, because the enemy doesn't want you to hear what the Spirit has to say to you. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So God is wanting to speak something to you, but we can get so disconnected, so distracted, or fall asleep that we might say, oh, I'm woke to the things of this world, but you don't realize there are something that is more important going on than what you're actually seeing. Words have always changed and had new meanings added to them. My next slide. I'm so thankful that God's word remains the same. It remains the same. It says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Any woman, mom, you've received a bouquet of flowers. Raise your hand if you ever see. How many of you have kept them still living? Same ones, still living. Now, another bud might have come off because you're really good, you're a green thumb, and you planted them, you watered them, or whatever, and other buds. But that same one, that same rose or whatever, however cheap they went, that same flower in that bouquet, how many of you still have that same flower still vibrant and alive? No. Now, even if you dried them and hung them upside down and put them in a book and covered them, it's no longer alive. It's dead. I'm so thankful that God's word endures forever. His word doesn't change. You might try to add something to it, but no. Beware that you add anything to God's word. God's word remains and endures forever. So what God has spoken still has meaning, still has power, still has emphasis, still impacts the lives that will cause us to see our need for him. Jesus said this in Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass. I love that part. Will by no means pass away. Don't even think about it. It ain't even going to happen. Will pass away. So again, when I type that phrase, being awake but still asleep, I found from sleepfoundation.org. So if you want to fact check me, you can go ahead. Sleepfoundation.org. It says false awakening and sleep paralysis. A person with sleep paralysis is mentally awake but unable to move most of their muscles, mirroring the muscle paralysis that occurs naturally during REM sleep. Now, for those of you that jerk in bed when you fall asleep or whatever, this is not an excuse for you to actually kick your spouse because you're angry and upset at what they didn't do and then blame, a false awakening. Don't do that. So it says sleep paralysis can happen as you are falling asleep or waking up. Researchers have found that about 75% of the time, hallucinations occur with sleep paralysis. A Google search also that I found discovered that what is false awakening? During a false awakening, the sleeper believes they are awake when in reality they are still sleeping. False awakenings usually occur during... Oh, I read that already. And so our time of rest is necessary. Our time of rest is necessary. That's how God created our bodies. It is important for us to be able to fall asleep. That in REM, in the time that we're sleeping, our body just does certain things. There's a lot. There was a lot that I didn't want to actually share today, but there's just so much things of what happens even in our brain, the activity that's going on in our bodies. God created us this way, and our time of rest is necessary. And that is how God created our bodies. I am thankful for passages of Scripture like Psalm 3. See, because while God had created and ordained for our bodies to need rest and how rest is important, our spiritual selves, our spiritual bodies need to find rest in Him. Psalm 3, verses 1 through 5. And I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to sing it to you, but there's a song to it. But anyway, it says, O Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying, God will never rescue him. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head, the one who holds my head high. Anybody ever walk around with your head low to the ground? You're always looking to the ground. Or maybe just that day, you just down and out. Look to God. Look to the Lord. He is your shield around you. He is your glory and the one who holds your head high. Verse 4 says, I cried out to the Lord and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept. Yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I wonder how many believers are deceived, thinking that they are believers, deceived that they are thinking that they are awake, but they are actually sleeping, walking in the flesh, but not in the spirit, not realizing that they have fallen asleep and believing that they're okay, I'm good, not seeing the spiritual warfare in front of them. And are in a deep sleep. Parents, you're having issues with your kids? There is spiritual warfare going on. Begin to pray. Learn to pray. Speak God's word over their lives. Anoint the doorposts of your house and take a stand that nothing evil will come into your home. And pray against what the enemy is wanting to do to separate your children from God or your children from you. You're not seeing the spiritual warfare in front of you. And those people are in a deep sleep, consumed with the things of the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says this, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. I'll go ahead and say this. Right now it's football season. So many people are so focused on football. So many people are focused. I mean, they're even focused now on betting on football. They're so focused on that. They'll find themselves always thinking about that. Always checking to see how many points. And I'm not saying that fantasy football is wrong or is of the devil, but you know what? Too much of it will distract you from the real issues in life. You'll become consumed with the things of the flesh. Listen, I had the Spirit convict me because I was getting consumed with politics, consumed with what's going on in the world. That'll take up a lot of your time. So don't be consumed with the things of the flesh. It says, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Here in this passage of Scripture, Paul is writing and he says, and he points out two different scenarios, flesh and spirit. You set your minds on the flesh or you set your minds to live according to the Spirit. The things of the Spirit, you'll find life and peace, but the things of the flesh, you'll find death. So he informs us of a spirit-led life, a spirit-filled life that is available to every person who is in Christ, and one who seeks after God's Spirit will find life and peace. It informs us that this kind of life after the flesh, you'll find no peace, you'll find no rest. What did God create us for? He created our bodies that rest is important. Spiritual rest in Him is also vitally important. Our Heavenly Father wants to remind us that we are to remain awake, sober-minded, redeeming the time, being aware of the time. No, not it's 12:17. Don't worry about it. Whatever you got in the oven, wherever you're going to go eat, it's going to be good. I hope so. But redeeming the time, redeeming the time. You're not going to have these moments again. So whatever the Spirit is saying, take care of it now. Don't wait till later. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take care of it today, right now. Don't wait till later. Don't wait till later on tonight. I'm glad if you'll come back. Tonight we're going to have communion at 6 p.m. Tiffany Sosby is going to share a word. And I would love for you to come back so that you can partake of communion with us, but so that God can continue to speak to you. Be aware and conscious of what is going on. You and I can't do this alone. Not by our intellect. I don't care how smart you are. You can't do this by your intellect. You can't do this by a conscious effort. You can't do this because you take, you know, nice long walks on the beach so that you can refresh your mind. No, this is done by being connected to the Holy Spirit, being alert and listening to what the Spirit of God has to say and reveal to you. Also being prayer ready. Those of us who live in this area, we know about being hurricane ready. The news will tell you. You'll see all those people that at the last moment, they rush to Walmart and all the bread's gone, all the water's gone, all the peanut butter's gone, all those things. And it's like, yo, it's not even going to come this way. But, you know, they get hysterical. People fighting over, you know, cases of water. That's crazy. But if you're hurricane ready, you won't have to rush, you know. And I've got convicted before, and like, hey, Shannon, we need to get some stuff just in case, but I don't plan on going to Walmart and all that craziness. But being prayer ready means being prayed up, spiritually minded. If you want to be ready for a battle and win the battle, get ready before the battle starts. Get ready before it starts. Start now, today. Be awake to what God is wanting you to do and what He wants you to know. I've heard Psalm 91 lately, and I'm going to close with this verse. Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. I want to dwell there. I'm not sure about you, but I want to dwell there. Listen, there were days that I wasn't found there. There were days that I was not under the shadow of the Almighty because I got distracted. I fell asleep. But I want to dwell there. Those who are awake dwell there because they recognize being in His presence, we find His covering. Just the other day, my kids were arguing about the covers, some throw blankets that we have as they were sitting on the couch. I wonder how much effort we put in superficial things or materialistic things that we seek to be covered or we seek to be prepared or we seek to, you know, have that nest egg just in case. If we would just put that kind of effort in seeking the covering of the shadow of the Almighty, that is where I want to dwell. And that is where I will put so much effort so that I can dwell there. And I will say, Shannon has said this many times, how many of you have many alarms on your phone to remind you of things so you don't forget? What if we had on our phones every hour to remind us to pursue this place, to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, to be awake to the things of God, not to fall asleep. How many of us would be willing to learn how to fight now, to fight spiritually, to stay covered under the shadow of the Almighty, and to know that He is my refuge and He is my fortress. He is my God, and in Him I will trust. Will you today in Him trust? My last slide. This verse, Psalm 46:10, I'm going to give you instruction. I did say that Psalm 91 was going to be my last verse. I didn't really lie, but I forgot that I was going to mention this. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. There is so much truth in this short verse that I ask that you study and apply this week. Be aware of this direct command and instruction. Be still. Look into why you can't stay still. Inspect your heart if you are living as if He isn't your God. Repent if you are still not being still. Repent if you have forgotten that He is God. Wake up to what is more important. Joe, that clock, please. Wake up. Wake up to what is more important, the spiritual things of God, and that you would not think that you are awake when really you're still sleeping. Let's pray. Joe, go ahead and play an altar call video. Father, we just come to you and we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you've already been speaking, what you've already been saying, which you've already been pointing out, issues of our lives that we need to surrender, that we need to be honest and repent about. God, I thank you for your word today. And I pray, Father, that we would be awake and sober-minded, alert and ready and on our guard to what you have to tell us, to what you want us to do. It's time to wake up. I pray that the church would wake up. I pray that those who are in false awakenings would really just get up and wake up to the things of God.